three statements, and this will kind of help you reveal where the person's coming from when they get to the question. Okay? My husband claims to be a Christian, but comes off as very critical. He feels that when someone is wrong, he's to tell them about it. I feel unequally yoked and that he's holding me back. I want to move forward. How do I handle this?
I don't know who you are, and if you're in the room, please love me. It's impossible for him to hold you back unless you have an eye that allows that. No one can keep you from God's presence, from the work of Holy Spirit, and you becoming love. If you fix your eyes on what he doesn't see and let what he doesn't see determine what you do see, you've been deceived and you're making him Lord and the governor over your life, but you're singing Jesus is Lord. Now, I know I'm talking strong. It's because I don't know who you are and I'm letting you know I'm not mad at you and upset. Please don't be deceived and let your husband decide who you are in Christ. You ought to cry for your husband and say, man, if he really knew who he was, he wouldn't be touching people that way. So pursue to grow in Christ more, shine more, sow greater seeds, and let God work it out. So if he is being critical, that doesn't change a thing about you. You just keep growing in love and be more loving. Your husband or your wife cannot be a stumbling block to your life and your growth unless you allow them to be, and you need them to be something for you to be okay. And it's actually, most of the church wouldn't agree with this. A lot of leaders would say this is wrong, but it's actually a form of idolatry. It's you depending on something you weren't created for to need. It's depending on something outside of the Lord. He's the fullness. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Look, I want our marriages great, and I want us to all grow and learn to love one another and honor one another. That's the goal. But if it's not happening, why are you letting that define and dictate who you are? It's idolatry. You're letting something outside of Christ define you. So it's impossible. My wife has no ability to hold me back. Unless my eye changes and I allow her for some deceptive reason. Who can keep me from God's presence? Who can keep me from becoming love and manifesting the Spirit and walking in grace and making peace? I'm the steward of my heart. Nobody else governs my heart but the Lord. So let's stop saying somebody can hold us back. No, in all our getting, let's get understood. You say, yeah, but you don't know the marriage I'm in. Come on, if God was taking that mentality, he'd say, man, you don't know the earth that I'm watching over, man. These people are knuckleheads, man. They say one thing and do another. They say they never will and do anyway. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. It's good I don't slumber because I'd never sleep. Come on. God ain't thinking like that. Who of you ever came to God sincerely to repent and he said, oh, it's you. You know, I've been wooing you for like 6 months, right? You know that, right? In fact, 6 months ago, you had the greatest opportunity to come to me than you ever have. And in the last 6 months, you've caused a lot of hell and pain. And now you're here. I don't even know what you're doing. You put me through a lot too. I don't know if I even want my heart on this yo-yo string. I don't even know where we stand anymore. I'm not even sure why you're here because you've put me through a lot and you've hurt me a bunch. See, that sounds so foolish when you put that in God's mouth. It ought to sound just as foolish in yours. You're made for his image. And his way is your way. The only reason we're so hurt and taken back by these things is because we really are living for ourselves without realizing it, admitting it, and addressing it. Let me show you something in James, because that question's got me excited. That's a good question. Whoever asks it, thanks for the humility of asking it. And I'm not condemning you. I'm saying, don't you be deceived and let your husband decide who you are. Let Jesus figure that out and decide that so you see rightly your husband. Because here's the problem. If you don't see your husband rightly, it'll start dividing your heart. You'll start feeling sorry for yourself. You'll start justifying things and blaming it on him. And watch this. Can you imagine this? Any of us can imagine this. So one day we stand before God and we look into his liquidy, fiery eyes of eternal love and unsearchable wisdom. We don't even know what it's going to be like, guys. Come on. We're going to meet him and look at him face to face. And you're going to go, right? Can you imagine doing this? I wouldn't believe you if it wasn't for my spouse. That would be pitiful. And you won't even be able to think it. You'll just go, duh, I was deceived. But here's the problem. There's a sentimental mindset in the church that hasn't died in water baptism and died to the flesh, where a lot of us have our own pains and hurts and we don't make good counselors because of that. So all we do is pass on how we'd feel instead of who Jesus is. He says, don't let many of you be teachers. There's a stricter judgment. Some of us are even finding our identity through feeling like we're helping people. But if you're not giving them the counsel of God, if you're giving them permission to stay hurt or look like the flesh, if you're just saying, oh, honey, I'm sorry he's doing that to you. I wish he'd love you more. You deserve more. Honey, you can't stay in this. You need more than this. That is a deceptive trap. It's going to give you permission to walk on a road that Jesus never travels. Now I'm being strong and straight. You guys all right? This thing is real. Because all of a sudden, your unresolved conflicts and your hurt and your pain starts rising up, desires and motives and motivation. And all of a sudden you have eyes to see something you wouldn't even see if everything was okay. And all of a sudden you become manipulated and fashioned by the crisis instead of fashioned by the Christ. And all of a sudden you're nothing more than a product of what you're going through in the name of the Lord. And you can cover it with Christian language, but it's not God. I know that's strong, but boy, that's in me. All right, Pastor. You guys okay? Come on, I am not cool with you slipping in to feeling sorry for yourself in any situation. I'm serious, and I know some things are tough, and I wish it was different. I wish everybody had a strong desire for God. Come on. But if you're going to let your life be determined by whether other people are hungry for God, what is that? It's like somebody going to a church and saying, boy, that church isn't loving, which should have been you were there. So why are you letting everything else determine who you are? Why don't you let the one that we say is awesome determine who we are? Come on, we've been trained by this stuff. We just church shop, look for a place that's just everything we need it to be. And then after 6 months, you go, boy, I don't know. Things really changed here. It used to be good. I don't know what happened to Adam. That's twisted. That's deception. You're not coming here because you church shopped and found the church. You wonder if you'd ask God where you should go. You'd be amazed where you'd end up. He'd put you around people that challenge you and shape you and stretch you. Because it's not God for you to say, I don't know. They just bother me. Well, they don't bother God. He loves them to the point of death so they can live. Say, well, they just ruffle my feathers. Well, then get plucked. It's serious. I'm not being mean. It's not about them changing. It's about you seeing them different. I said it this morning. You say, well, they just get under my skin. I said, get new skin. You know, we've done it for years in the church, guys. Like, well, I need you to pray for my job. My boss just really bothers me. Well, you're to be an example to your boss and a living epistle. He has no right to bother you. Why do you give him the power? You should cry for him, not cry because of him. If he's living that way, there's something he doesn't understand. That ought to break your heart, not hate your heart. You ought to kneel and cry for him, not cry because you loathe and hate your job. And I don't know why you let me go through this, God. And if you love me, why do you let them spew on me like this? Why aren't you protecting me? He has protected you by giving you a whole new reason for being, sending you to work with a whole new perspective and motivation so light can walk in there, not somebody trying to survive. Am I making sense? Come on, guys. This is one of the ways in the church we've really messed things up. We've just made it about everybody around us treating us right and always praying for the best around us instead of becoming the best. Listen, when I worked secular, I did several jobs after I was saved. One, I was already there 13 years as one of the guys. That was interesting. Because I was there 13 years as one of the guys, and all of a sudden I'm transformed and saved. Well, they're all saying I'm in a cult, and I'm brainwashed. And I would laugh and say, my brain's been thoroughly washed. They go, oh, my God. Folks started getting healed. Stuff started happening in my workplace. And it was fun. And then I went into pastoring 2.5 years in, and them guys thought, man, this guy is really for real. And years later, they'd see me over in a marketplace. For 2.5 years, I sat in a booth, just made myself available every Saturday for somebody if they wanted prayer. Just 2.5 years, just sat in a booth. Why? Because it was right. Because your life's not your own. I wasn't allowed to solicit. I wasn't allowed to try to pull them in the booth. I'd just sit there, and if they came through the door, man, it was over for them. Seriously, God got them, man. Yeah, John used to visit me in there. Remember the lady walked in that time and I had to go to the bathroom so bad. And you wouldn't stop talking to me, remember? I think that's how it went. You were telling me a long story and then a story within a story. Do you ever do that? Okay. Well, that's what was happening, John. And I'm doing this right in the camera, John. You're going to watch this, right? Okay. And we were sitting there. Do you remember this? And it's one of them times, I don't know why us guys do this, but you have to go, and you know you have to go, and a half hour later, you really have to go. And you're sitting there talking, and you're literally, you can't even hold still, because you're trying to finish your conversation, but with John, it never ends. So it's frivolous. Just go pee, right? And I'm still, and all of a sudden, I said, John, look, I gotta go to the bathroom. It was at the point where, you've ever been in this? Where you weren't sure you were going to make it. Like, you were holding it so long that the closer you got, the less willpower you had to. Are you guys following me? So I turn to the door to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, and this lady comes in, starts sweeping, and says, can we talk? And what I do, John, supernatural. I said, of course, honey, come here. She was secretly drinking as a Christian at night. Put herself to sleep. She was alcoholic, Christian, crying out for help and came. God shook her, didn't he? Yeah, it was fun. And after it was all over, we're talking and high-fiving and she heads out and we're hugging. I sit down and we're talking. Oh, okay. See how much grace is on my life? I sat down and thought I was sitting nice and straight. It didn't even. We all right? What? I feel solid, man. Just stop looking. I feel good. So watch. We were sitting, right? And all of a sudden, we like realized, I never even went to the bathroom. And watch this. I didn't even have to. It supernaturally went away. So it was just cool. I don't even know why I got into that whole story. I don't know. Maybe you ought to throw me another question. Did you guys get that question, though, that the lady wrote? Who's ever felt this way? Be honest. Whoever has actually believed that your spouse or a close relationship or family member was holding you back. Be honest, because it's a lot. But who, in raising your hands humbly, would bear witness to my answer and realize that you don't have to let it be that way, that you can embrace a higher way of thinking? You see what I'm saying? And overcome evil with good. Tone down a harsh word with a kind word. Mercy triumph over judgment. Love cover a multitude of sin. These are all scriptures, guys. Well, pray for me because it's really hard living with her. It's really hard living with him. Stop that. Stop that. Man, if Jesus would ever say that to you, you'd be crushed and hopeless forever.
Well, it's really hard living with you. But the time you think you're getting it, you don't have it. I get my hopes up and you succeed and then flop again. How many times can you flop?
Come on. Could you picture that? You say, well, no, but he's God. Yeah, but he made us in his image and he lives in us and we're his embodiment. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in us. Let's stop making an exception and relating to flesh rather than life in the spirit. Is that fair?